At this point in our study in the book of Acts, we are considering the experience of the Philippian jailer. We are reading in the book of Acts in the 16th chapter. And if you want to open the Bible at that point, turn to chapter 16 and look at verses 30, 31, and 32. Because this is a very, very unusually clear statement as to what happens when a person becomes a Christian. You'll remember the story of what happened that night in that prison, and how the jailer was so impressed by the fact that when his prisoners became free and were loose, so to speak, they didn't run away, he was so impressed by it that he came to Paul and Silas, and falling down, came trembling and fell down before them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And you remember the Lord, they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And we've been talking about that. Now I want to go on with that, looking at that just a bit further. Notice how they added, "and thy house." Thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I'm going to suggest to you that this word saved, as I tried to point out in the last study, means a whole lot more than just that you're going to heaven. It means that. It means a whole lot more than just that you're not going to hell. It means that. It means there are going to be changes in you. Thou shalt be saved will include inward changes by the grace of God, and certain changes in experience because of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which will be with you when you belong to God. And now in the latter part of verse 31 is this remarkable addition, "and thy house." And this brings something to our hearts that is both wonderful and exciting and very sobering. The faith that's in the parents will show up in the children, and the lack of faith that's in the parents will show up in the children. The real obedience to God that there is in the parents will show up in the children, and the failure to obey God that is in the parents will show up in the children. There is a way in which you will find that the children will talk the language of their parents. The children will have the habits of their parents. The children will talk like their parents, they'll walk like their parents, they'll act like their parents. And as long as they're children, they will believe like their parents. They'll follow them along. There's a very real sense in which the parents take the children by the hand, and where the parents go, the children go. And where the parents do not go, the children do not go. I do not know of any greater reason for a father and mother to attend church regularly, to be found in Sunday school, to be reading the Bible, to be exercising themselves in prayer, than this, that your children will do just exactly what you do. They may not like it at first. They may not like it always. They may not keep it up forever. But the tendency will be that they will do just exactly what you do. And if you're a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be inclined to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe in the reality of God, they'll be inclined to believe in the reality of God. If you believe that God will forgive sin, they will believe that God will forgive sin. If you believe that the transgressions of man, that the sinful conduct of man, is sin in the sight of God, they will believe that it's sin in the sight of God. Thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now look at verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. After they had told him this simple sentence, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," then they talked. They talked and talked and talked. And they talked about these things. They spake unto him the word of the Lord. What would they be saying? If a man came into your house to speak the word of the Lord, what would he be saying? If you rode down the downtown in the car with a man and he began to talk to you, the word of the Lord, began to say to you, the word of the Lord, what do you think he'd be saying? What is the word of the Lord? Now let me illustrate some of these to you. Do you remember when our Lord Jesus Christ was here and the woman of Samaria that sat at the that was at the well where he was sitting and came to him? Do you remember how that conversation went along and he asked her for water? And she got into conversation with him. You remember how he said this? "Ask of me and I will give you living water." That's the word of the Lord. Someone would sit down beside you and tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ will give you something that will satisfy you forever. You remember when the leper came up to him? And the leper said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Do you remember what the word of the Lord was? "I will, be thou clean." That's the word of the Lord. If someone sat down to talk to you about the word of the Lord, they'd be telling you how the Lord Jesus Christ could cleanse your soul. They'd be telling you that no matter what you've done, no matter what kind of a conscience you have, no matter how many guilty feelings you've got, the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse your soul. And you know, he'd be speaking to you the word of the Lord. You know what he'd be saying? I will be thou clean. And perhaps some of you will have this kind of feeling that you're involved in circumstances that are very upsetting. Maybe right now you're in trouble. Trouble of all kinds, from every sort. It is as if you were right in the midst of a terrific storm. You know what the word of the Lord is in the midst of the storm? Peace, be still. And the wind and the waves were subsided and there was a great calm. Peace, be still. This is the word of the Lord. Do you remember the occasion when he met the demon-possessed man? And when the man came near him, the demons cried out to him, saying not to cast them out and so on. Do you remember what he said? Hold thy peace, come out. And they came out. That's the word of the Lord. That's a person sitting down beside you and telling you that Almighty God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, could deliver you in your soul from things that are binding you now, that are holding you into doing evil things. You could be set free. Do you remember the sinful woman that came to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure everybody frowned at her coming. She was known to be a sinful woman. But she pressed up close to where he was. You remember how she anointed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head? You recall what he said to her? Daughter, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. That's the word of the Lord. And if somebody were going to speak the word of the Lord to you, they could come right into your house right now, and they could tell you, Sister, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Or perhaps you're some man driving along in a car, and you're hearing this message right now. You know what the word of the Lord could be for you? Brother, or son, perhaps? Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You don't have to go and change anything. It's all known to God. He understands everything, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You haven't got time to go and change anything. The Lord doesn't want you to. He wants you to look up at him. He can do it for you. This is the word of the Lord. Do you remember when the disciples were face to face with a great problem? And they were wondering about things, how the Lord Jesus said to them, have faith in God. And when you're wondering about your life, and you're wondering about the things that you're facing, you're wondering about some of the problems you have, some of the burdens that you have faith in God. You know, some of the misgivings that you have, the troubles that you have. Remember how sometimes you feel so burdened, you feel almost crushed under the weight of it all? Listen. Have faith in God. This is the word of the Lord. This is the way he speaks to people. Do you remember when Peter on one occasion was at the seashore and the Lord Jesus had been speaking and how the Lord Jesus turned away from his speaking and came over to Peter where Peter was drying his nets, mending his nets? How the Lord Jesus said to him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught of fish. Remember how Peter said, Lord, we've been out there all night. We've taken nothing. But what had the Lord said? Launch out and let down your nets. That's what's the word of the Lord. That would be the word of the Lord for some of you. Do you remember how he came across Matthew, as we read about him in another place, sitting at a banker's table? The Lord Jesus walked by and said, follow me. That's the word of the Lord. Remember how it was with Peter when he came to him and he looked on him and said, men have called thee Simon, but thou shalt be called Peter. And later on he said to him, follow me and I will make thee fishers of men. That's the word of the Lord. Do you remember how when Peter was facing the end of his days and the Lord Jesus knew that Peter would be tested and that he would fall as he did when he denied his Lord? Remember how the Lord Jesus speaking to him said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. That's the word of the Lord. And that would be the word of the Lord for you. There will be some of you right now when this day is right before you. And no man knoweth what a day will bring forth, but God knows. And he knows what you're facing right this very day, before another 24 hours is over. You know what he's going to be saying to you? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That's the word of the Lord. And these disciples, Paul and Silas, when they sat down with that Philippian jailer, they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. You remember how you can read in various places of the word of the Lord to his own disciples, how on one occasion he said to them, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Don't you think that's one of the things Paul said? Don't you think that's one of the things he explained to that Philippian jailer? This world's not everything. In the world to come, the Lord Jesus is there, and he's preparing a place for you. Do you remember how on another occasion, speaking to his disciples, said, I'm going to have to leave you. Wicked men are going to take me and kill me. They're going to put my body in the grave, and on the third day I will rise from the dead, and I'll be gone. But I will send you another comforter, that he may be with you and abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you to be orphans. I will come unto you. That's the word of the Lord. And right now, while you're sitting there listening, just while these things are coming to you, the Lord Jesus would speak to your heart and say, I will come to you. Or he may say to you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And so far as any of you are concerned, as you go out to live in this world and as you walk in this world, you know what the word of the Lord to you would be? Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Now I have just chosen from memory a verse here and a verse there and a verse here and a verse there all through the New Testament. You can read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's all the word of the Lord. The whole Bible is the word of the Lord. And when they spake unto him the word of the Lord, they made known to this Philippian jailer what the Lord would do for them and to all that were in his house. The whole family was there to hear this teaching. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to hear the word of the Lord and to believe in him. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.